Hare Krishna. So we're continuing in our series on the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And yesterday Garuda Prabhu was speaking on a scholarly level all about Chaitanya. And Bhuta Bhavana had begun. And tomorrow Sutapa Prabhu will continue. And then I think we have Kartik Chandra. And then finally we have Kripamoya Prabhu speaking on the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Thursday. So before we begin, we want to very warmly welcome here to Bhaktivedanta Manor the temple president of ISKCON, Leicester, His Grace Prajumna Prabhu. Very wonderful to have him here. As you know, he's from here, just to let you all know. He was trained and joined and everything here, but he's taken on a big project there in Leicester. Wonderful project with a huge temple, obviously. Probably the most beautiful of all the buildings that we have in ISKCON. The massive building of the HSBC. And equally, there is a school there, there is a farm there, so an expanding community. So we wish him well, and whatever help we can give him, we should give him. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the verse and the topic today is Lord Chaitanya's visit to Vrindavan. And the verse we're going to speak from is from the Madhya Leela, and it's the chapters entitled The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan, and it's text 3 that we'll look at, and we'll speak on that. And at 8:30, we are going to have the first of our short istagostis. As you know, we had the long istagosti, so now we're starting the short 15-minute istagostis. And it's going to be in the Prashadam Hall at 8:30. And there's a presentation from different departments every time, so we're going to hear from the Bhaktivedanta players today. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary this year, 30 years of establishing a drama group. So we'll hear from them a little bit, and then a couple of announcements, and then breakfast. And every month we'll continue going through all the different departments who speak about what they're doing. So in this way we'll be quite well versed with the preaching that's going on at the manor, and it won't take up 2 or 3 hours of our time. Text 3, translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy, but when he arrived at Arit Gram, his sense perception was awakened. Purport. Arit Gram is also known as Arista Gram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that in that village, Aristasura had been killed by Shri Krishna while there. While there, he inquired about Radhakund, but no one could tell him where it was. The Brahmana accompanying him could also not ascertain its whereabouts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could then understand that the holy places known as Radhakund and Shyamakund were at that time lost to everyone's vision. He therefore discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund, which were two reservoirs of water in two paddy fields. Although there was very little water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient and could understand that formerly these two ponds, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda, these two ponds were called Shri Radhakund and Shyamakund. In this way, Radhakund and Shyamakund were discovered. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadara Sivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhayavicha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here so that I may speak something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a lofty subject matter, and Vrindavan, even a more loftier subject matter. Often a statement is made that you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Is it Prabhupada who says that? Who says that? Prabhupada? Never. Bhaktisiddhanta. You cannot purchase a ticket to Vrindavan. And really, that is the case. It's very difficult to purchase a ticket to Vrindavan. You may purchase it and you may arrive there, but you will not see the Vrindavan that really exists. Or equally, you may purchase a ticket, but you may still not make it there. I was taking a group of devotees, 70, 60 devotees, to Vrindavan and Mayapur. And we all arrived at the airport, and you know at the airport they check all your passports. So one devotee, Swayam Jyoti, you all know Swayam Jyoti, he serves here. So in his devotion to get to Vrindavan, he picked up something wrong, a document that was wrong. And so when he checked in at the counter, where the airline desk was, he presented his life membership passport. He thought it was his real passport. And when he presented it, they were a bit bewildered which country it was from. So obviously he didn't catch the plane, nor did he make it to Vrindavan. And even if you've got your passport, as recently Ramadevi found out, we all know Ramadevi, and she arrived at the desk and she was ready to go to Mayapur. Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different. So when she arrived and the passport and everything was in order, but then they finally looked a little closer and they said, your visa expired 2 days ago to India. So she couldn't travel. And she said, when she came back, she said to me, you know, I've realized you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan, because you may not have the visa that allows you to enter Vrindavan. So what is that visa that we require to go to Vrindavan? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us that visa. And really it's His grace that's allowing us. I think also you may get to Vrindavan, but you find that your bags haven't arrived, isn't it? Anyone had that experience? Haribol. Haribol. You arrive in Vrindavan, but your bags are in some other country. So still some anxiety before you get to Vrindavan. So Vrindavan always gives some anxiety to all of us. Prabhupada said that Vrindavan is a state of consciousness, which is an interesting thought. As much as he wanted us all to go to Vrindavan, he equally said in his lectures that Vrindavan was a state of consciousness. Meaning that you could be sitting in Vrindavan and your consciousness would be in the streets of London, not thinking about Krishna at all. And you could be in the streets of London distributing books, but your consciousness is in Vrindavan. So it's an interesting principle how the mind works. And Prabhupada, in his statements, he said, when devotees always wanted to travel to Vrindavan and different places, he said, all my temples, they are Vrindavan. All my temples, they are Vrindavan. And when he walked through Lechmore Heath, as you know, he looked at the greenery in Lechmore Heath all over, and the fields. If you walk through, and you'll even see the big power cables and the towers. That if you'll see those in Vrindavan as well, actually. So Prabhupada said that this place reminds me of Vrindavan. Once again, reminding us that Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. Vrindavan very much is a state of consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we often tend to think that, you know, we're all going back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. And we want to, every one of us. We very much want to. But then there is great hope in the story of Mukunda. Mukunda, of course, was a great associate of Mahaprabhu. But what he had done is that he had gone to hear the Yoga Vashishtha Ramayana, which is Mayavad. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected him. And at the Mahaprakash Leela, which is at the Srivash Angam, when everyone is getting all the blessings, they said Mukunda was not allowed in, and he was outside Srivash Angam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that because he is inclined to hear Mayavad philosophy, I will not give him my blessings. So the devotees, again Mukunda requested the devotees, please ask. So several times they asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please give him your blessings. So finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I will give him my blessings after 10,000 births. So the devotees were thinking, my God, that's very harsh. 10,000 births. And Mukunda, when he heard this outside Srivas Angam, he was jumping very highly and celebrating. Finally, finally. So they came to see him and they said, Mukunda, why are you celebrating? And he said, I have realized that Mahaprabhu will be very kind to me eventually in 10,000 lives from now. So there is hope for all of us, because Prabhupada has given us the guarantee that it's so long as we stay within the process of Krishna consciousness. It's a very broad term nowadays, the process of Krishna consciousness. But equally, there are so many stories within that, with Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Goswami, that we stay within the mission as well. The process is good, but if you're in the mission of Krishna consciousness, then those visas will be stamped, regardless, to Vrindavan. So we shouldn't be in anxiety whether we'll make it in this life, next life, or 10,000 lives. We will make it in due course of time. So that's great hope for all of us coming up to Gorpani. That Namo Mahavadinyaya, the most magnanimous of all incarnations, has come. And if he delivered everyone, why will he not deliver us who are here every day? Why will he not deliver us? So I think in our devotional life, we just have to think of two things. As Jiva Goswami mentions in his Sandarbhas. And purchasing that ticket to Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami says that the success of spiritual life lies in two things. He says you have to be attentive in your chanting and you have to be attentive in your relationships with the Vaishnavas. He says if you can do these two things, you will purchase your ticket to Vrindavan. So every morning we have a japa period, and trying to be attentive is a big task. And every day we're associating with the Vaishnavas and being attentive in our dealings with each other is even a bigger task. But this is what is required of us, to purchase that ticket to Vrindavan. Now, why did Lord Chaitanya go to Vrindavan? Because Gadadhar Pandit, when he was speaking to him, because he had taken Kshetra Sannyas, and he wanted to go with him. Sukadatta Pandit, he said, Tumi yahan yahan, rahi tahana vrindavan, tahana jamuna ganga, sarvatirtha gan. Which is, Gadadhar Pandit said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you stay, is Vrindavan. Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. As well as Jamuna, Ganga, they're all there wherever you stay. But still, Gadadhar Pandit went on into the next text and he said, Tabo Vrindavaniyaha Loka Shikhayat. Although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you still will go to Vrindavan just to instruct all of us that we should go on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. So Gadadha Pandit says that, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan? Just to instruct all of us. And the lesson from all of this is that Moro Mana Vrindavan, that the Lord's mind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind, is Vrindavan. Nonetheless, just to teach people, he visited Vrindavan just as an instruction to all of us. And Prabhupada very much, he wanted us to go to Vrindavan as well. And come back, of course, as well. It was for rejuvenating so that we would become purified and we would come back here and preach the mission of Mahaprabhu. So the whole idea is that ultimately we want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. And a replica of that Goloka Vrindavan is called Bhomya Vrindavan, and that's in India, so we can visit that. So Prabhupada, when he was once in Jhansi, early days, and Prabhupada, he was distributing books. So Prabhupada wasn't just writing his books, but he was distributing his books. So he had translated Easy Journey to Other Planets, and he was distributing that in Jhansi. And there was a gentleman who was based in Jhansi, so Prabhupada gave him this book. And the man said, what is this book all about? And Prabhupada said, this is Easy Journey to Other Planets. That by reading this, you will go to Goloka Vrindavan. So the man said, oh, after going to Goloka Vrindavan, can I come back to Jhansi? So Prabhupada said, what fool you are, you want to come back to Jhansi. He said, no, but Jhansi is my hometown. I'm very attached to Jhansi. I want to come back to Jhansi. So Prabhupada chuckles about this, that we may go to the spiritual world, but we want to come back to our hometown still, because we don't have further knowledge of what it is. You know, and externally, if we go to Vrindavan, it is not an easy sight often. Concrete now, very concrete. Wherever you go, the monkeys are very like, the number of monkeys have increased in Vrindavan now. Every now and then, the number of population of monkey increases, and what they do generally is they push them onto one of the forests. But I think the Congress party had said, now you can't move them from here. They have equal rights. So there was an equal rights campaign that the monkeys the monkeys were not moved on. Now the pilgrims have got no rights at the moment. So you are guaranteed that something will go from you when you visit Vrindavan. And recently when we'd gone, I think October or something, so myself, Pranavandu and Guri had gone just for, on our way back, just for 2 days. So in the first 2 hours, Pranavandu's glasses disappeared. The monkey sort of jumped out of nowhere and took the glasses away. And I was laughing away thinking, ha ha, not me. And the next day I'd bought a book from Lloyd's Bazaar and I was looking at the page and the next thing the book disappeared. And I thought, wow, there's some mysticism here. And it was the monkey had taken it away. I didn't have any bananas to barter with, so he tore it up. It was the end of the book. And finally, as we were leaving, Gauri Prabhu said, I have been saved. And as he was running back to the Vrindavan temple because we were catching our taxi. As he was coming back, his chadar, which was here, disappeared. So of course, so the monkeys are there. You're quite. Some people are terrorized by them because you can't wear glasses, you can't carry anything, you can't carry your bag. So anyway, so you might think, is this Vrindavan? Dogs, you know, of course, howling away. The cleanliness might get you. And you might think, is this really Vrindavan? So actually, holy places are not meant to be seen. They're meant to be seen through the ears. You hear about them. And if you hear about them, actually, you begin to appreciate them for what they are. And according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, of course, what is Vrindavan? As the verse in the Chaitanya Manjusa, which speaks about this, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajataniyas Taddam Vrindavanam, which is that Vrindavan is non-different from the Supreme Lord. So the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that the holy places, they are equally worshipable, just as the Supreme Lord. So in the universe, there are 600 million places, holy places. 600 million holy tirthas in the universe. Quite a lot there. Skanda Purana speaks on this. So if you're ever thinking of a yatra in the universe, 600 million holy places. And of all the holy places, it's regarded that the earth is the most auspicious. The planet Earth of all the places. Why? Because the Lord appeared. He chose to appear on this planet. And of all the holy places on the Earth planet, Mathura or Bharat Varsh is considered the most auspicious because the Lord appeared there. And within Bharat Varsh, He chose to appear in Mathura. And within the district of Mathura or Vrajamandal, the forest of Vrindavan is considered the most auspicious. Mathura is auspicious because the Lord was born there, He appeared there. And Vrindavan because the Rasa Leela took place. But superior to Vrindavan is the hill known as Govardhan. Why? Because the Lord lifted it with His own hands. And in the area of Govardhan, the most auspicious place are the places of Radhakund and Shamakund, and that's today's verse, that this was the most auspicious of all auspicious places. And this is nectar of devotion, as we know Rupa Goswami is speaking about, that simply by bathing in Radhakund, our love for Krishna will be reawakened and we'll get Krishna prem. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came there, it's interesting that no one knew where it was. It had become covered over in that 4,000 years. And no one knew where it was. And all the residents of Vrindavan were quite surprised to see a sannyasi. He was bathing in the paddy fields. You don't bathe in the paddy fields. And there was very little water, but he's very tall, Chaitanya. So he was throwing this water on him. And they were surprised that he was doing this. So the verse is from here, carry on. And this is how Radhakund and Shamakund were established. Lord Chaitanya, he attempted to go to Vrindavan 3 times. Shortly after being initiated by Ishwara Purian Guy, he wanted to go. But why didn't he go? Sutapa knows, he's written a book called the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyone, you may have read that. He knows it well. And it's a very good reference book if you're ever giving class, of course. You can browse through that. Why didn't he come to Vrindavan? Because the urgency of the Sankirtan movement was there. And I think that's a great lesson for us. That we may want to do many, many things in our life, but there is an urgency to give Krishna consciousness to others. And that's an important factor here, that even God Himself, when He comes, He follows that. That He saw there was an urgency to establish something. Beyond what I want, he thought, let me inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. And when it's inaugurated, then I can go. And then, of course, he wanted to go after taking sannyas, as you know, and he set off. And who dissuaded him? Tricked him? Nityananda Prabhu said, go this way. And he failed, of course. He failed. He just went round in a circle and he came back. So often you might get tricked when you're trying to go to the holy places as well. And finally, when he went to Jagannath Puri, again he resolved, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but the devotees from Navadvip, whenever they would come, they knew he wanted to go. So what did they do? They kept on making one reason or the other. Chaturmasya is here, you cannot go. What a variety of reasons. So he never went. But anyway, after three such years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he devised a plan to visit Vrindavan. And he told Ramananda Roy, and he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he asked for their permission. So here's another interesting lesson. That we cannot just simply go to Vrindavan. We should seek some permission of the Vaishnavas. Even the Lord is asking for permission. He said, I haven't been able to go, but now if I seek permission from the senior Vaishnavas, Ramananda Roy, and then I will make it. So this was his mood, his anticipation. But again, at that time when he left, he journeyed, and he ended up in Ramakeli. And who was in Ramakeli? Rupa and Sanatan. So that's the great pastime which happens there. And they advised him that now you have a big following. If you go with this big following, it's not very good. Because the Mohammedan government, they will see who is this. And equally, they said it's not the etiquette to go like this with a big entourage. So you should go on. So anyway, he came back to Puri, coming to Shantipur, and who does he meet in Shantipur? Yes, Raghunath Das. Speaking to him about renunciation, if you remember. Anyway, finally when he gets to Puri, this time, Ramananda Roy and Saurabh Damodar, they give him, he wanted to go on his own, but he was told, no, you have to take two servants with you. And the two servants were Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And specifically, he would collect the alms and he would cook. And there was another servant. I don't think a name is given. Anyone? And the other assistant was a brahmana who would personally carry Lord Chaitanya's cloth and water pot with him. And this would allow the Lord to chant and dance. So anyway, he makes his way. And the first place he comes to on his way to Vrindavan is Jarakanda forest, first place he comes to. And of course the great pastime is there of the animals all chanting and dancing. And it's important because when he went to Jarakanda, he was reminded of Vrindavan, the forests of Vrindavan again. And of course, Haridas Thakur, he speaks about this fact that when he's asked how is it that all the other living entities will be delivered. And he says by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered all the animals in Jarakanda. So this once Prabhupada, when he was in India, a scholar came to see him. And the scholar said that if you look at all the scriptures, there is no mention of loud chanting. The chanting should be done in one's mind. And he was quoting many passages from the Vedas that the loud chanting is not mentioned anywhere. They're secret mantras. It shouldn't be chanted. So Prabhupada was having a whole argument with this scholar. And he wouldn't listen. He said, no, this loud chanting is not allowed in the Vedic literatures. So Prabhupada finally said, okay, now it is time for prasad. And he said, he serve everyone prasadam except this scholar. Don't serve him. So he was upset. He said, why am I not getting any prasad? Anything to eat? He said, because you will eat in your mind. You should eat in your mind. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has said that we should chant the holy name loudly. So who are you to question that? So scholars and pundits may question this loud chanting. But Prabhupada didn't pay much heed to it. He said, Chaitanya has ordered us that we must chant in this way. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he moves on from Jarakanda and he arrives in, if you look, there's a map in Sutapa's books. I'm doing a plug. If you don't have a book, you can buy a book. And in there, there's a map that he goes next to Varanasi. And who does he meet in Varanasi? Very famous. He meets Tapan Mishra. And who's the son of Tapan Mishra? Raghunath Bhatta. We don't hear much about Raghunath Bhatta, but he's the son of Tapan Mishra. And he meets him there. And the other person who's there in is Chandrasekhar, of course. Chandrasekhar was also there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stayed 10 days in Varanasi. Anyone been to Varanasi here? Yes, of course. If you haven't, it's a good place to go, of course. And of course, it was swarming with impersonalists. And the only Vaishnavas there were practically Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra. And the local leader of the Mayavadis there was Prakash Ananda Saraswati, who was there. And he had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he had dismissed his movement as sentimental and emotional. And there's a history behind that, because the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition had become full of these Sahajyas, so equally everyone regarded it as that. So Mahaprabhu and Bhaktivinoda Thakur later on, of course, they put a lot of emphasis on this. So Prakashananda Saraswati, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't defeat him then. On his way back, he defeated him. So here he has a conversation. And then it's interesting, because when Giriraj Swami, when he was in India, he was told by many devotees that he was often being too harsh in his preaching and criticizing people. So he decided that he would take a vow that I am going to now not criticize people. So he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And he said to Prabhupada, he said, often I will meet Mayavadis and others, so what am I to do? Because I am being told that I am too harsh and I am criticizing others. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nandaki. So he wrote to Prabhupada, and then he went to make some life members in Madras. And Madras, of course, as you know, it's divided. The south is very much divided with the Vaishnavas and the Shaivites. So when he arrived at a very big businessman's place, and he put all the books of Prabhupada on the table, and he said, these books are the translation of the Bhagavad and so on. So this very big businessman, he said, he looked through the books and he said, why have you not glorified Sankaracharya in your books? Because he's one of the acharyas in the south. So Giriraj Swami said, oh, we have. You can see, you know, at the beginning there is mention of Sankaracharya. Prabhupada mentions about Sankaracharya at the beginning. And but you can see about him. But he said, no. The man said, I want to see where his thesis is being mentioned in your book and why he's not being glorified. So Giriraj Swami was remembering, I've made a commitment that I will not offend anyone today in my preaching. So this man said, you must glorify Sankaracharya. Otherwise, I will not become a life member. You have to remember that we are all one ultimately. So at that stage, Giriraj Swami finally blew a fuse. And he began to chastise the man and he said, we do not accept Sankaracharya and the philosophy. And if you don't want to become a life member, I don't care, I'm leaving. But we will not compromise our philosophy. So he took the books, and as he was walking out, the gentleman said, come back, come back. And he said, what? Come back. He said, put all your books on the table again. So he put all the books on the table and he said, well, what is it that you want? Now, in this gentleman's office, huge office, there was a big curtain, and the curtain was drawn. So at that stage, this gentleman, he opened the curtain, and there behind the curtains were Radha Krishna deities. And the man said, "I am a worshipper of Krishna, but I was testing to see if you would move from your philosophy. And because you did not move from your philosophy, I will become life member 10 times. So he gave him 10 times the amount there was to become. So then Girat Swami, finally, he arrived back in Bombay and he received a letter from Prabhupada. Because he didn't know what to do. So he was frightened that what would Prabhupada say, because he blew a fuse finally. So Prabhupada wrote to him and Prabhupada said that at every opportunity we get, we must chastise the Mayavadis. So Prabhupada had personally written. Now Prabhupada had written to him, he didn't write to all of us. So next time we want to publicly chastise them may not be a good thing. It was his personal letter that he had received. So that was Varanasi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now is moving on and he finally travels from there. He finally arrives in Mathura. And upon his arrival in Mathura, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he pays his dandavats there and he arrives there, of course, in Mathura at the famous Vishram Ghat. And he bathes in the 24 kunds in Vishram Ghat. Everyone's done that? No. So if you go to Vrajamandal Parikram, you always begin at Vishram Ghat. That's where you begin. And there you begin like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Vrajamandal Parikram is according to how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it. The places that he went. And it's not the way he did it because it's always done in that manner. So when you arrive in Vishram Ghat, there are 24 different bathing ghats that you take a bath in. And that sets you up for now doing the parikram. So just as in Mayapur, you will first go to the yoga pit and you will take permission from Lord Shiva there. And similarly at Vishram Ghat, Lord Shiva of course is there as well. You take permission and you take a bath there. So anyway, and there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he meets the famous Brahman who's known as the Sonodiya Brahman. The Sonodiya Brahman, he meets him there at Mathura. And it's interesting because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw him, the Sonodiya Brahman, he says that you're an elderly Brahman, but you have very advanced in your spiritual life. Where have you received this ecstatic love of Krishna from? Now, who is this Sonodiya Brahman? So, the Brahmins are according to different castes. So he's in a very lower caste of Brahmins. And specifically, their job, the Sonodiya Brahmins, their job is to take the Vaishyas around Vrindavan. This is what they do. But specifically, the Sonodiya Brahmins, they take the lower caste Vaishyas around. The Vaishyas are, you know, the Agarwals are the higher class Brahmins. They'll follow a variety of things. Then there are two other levels of Vaishyas, and they're the lower caste Vaishyas. And the Sonodiya Brahmins, they look after these two lower caste of Vaishyas, and they take them around Vrindavan. So he was from a very low caste in that way. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you have love of Godhead. How is it that you have it? And the Brahman then explains that Madhavendra Puri, he had come to Mathura and he visited my house. He accepted me as a disciple and he gave me seva to the Gopal deity. Today is the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri. So it's a very good day to remember him. This morning we read out a passage about him. But here again we're remembering him in our line. And how Madhavendra Puri, he accepted the service of this Sonadiya Brahman. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you are my spiritual master. Because Madhavendra Puri is so much above me. So you are my spiritual master. So of course he became very afraid. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about Madhavendra Puri that unless one has a relationship with Madhavendra Puri, it is not possible to have ecstatic love of God. Unless one has, so we all have a relationship with Madhavendra Puri through our disciplic succession. And he, of course, he introduced this principle of love of God very much within our own line. And today we come on to this verse. Finally, just looking at it a bit more on it, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's arriving in this place of Aristogram, and this is the place where Aristasura was killed by Krishna. And then, of course, we know the story of Radhakund and Shamakund, which were formed at that time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally is coming here. And he is bathing in these two kunds, and once again telling us, of course, should we bathe in Radhakund and Shamakund? There are many instructions. Of course, Prabhupada stopped everyone because everyone was diving from the top into the kund, and the Brijvasis then complained to Prabhupada that what kind of behavior is this? So we can take either three drops of water, we can take one dip in Radhakund, whichever way we want to see it, but it's a very important aspect of our devotion to go there. There is another pastime which takes place equally when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, and a huge crowd once gathered and they claimed that they had witnessed Krishna dancing on Kaliya at night on the Jamuna. So a crowd gathered, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he went to have a look because he had heard that Krishna was dancing on the Jamuna. So it shows that we may be close to the Lord, we may be serving the Lord, but we'll be looking elsewhere. The veil of Maya is so strong that even if we are with the Lord, isn't it? When Vyasadeva was meditating on Krishna, he saw that one step behind Krishna, there was the shadow of Krishna. So there was Krishna, and one step behind him is Maya. So Prabhupada speaks about this, that we're in Krishna consciousness, but one step is all it takes to be in Maya. Only one step. So having the association of devotees is very important. But here specifically, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rebuked Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He said, what is this? That you're going to see Krishna dancing on Kali. Of course, they found out that it was just a boatman and he had a lamp, and everyone thought that image was Krishna dancing on Kali. So how you can get deviated so quickly, even if you're in the association of the Lord. So that's a very important aspect as well. Rumors. These rumors, in fact, become a misunderstanding. And that's what we find in spiritual life as well, often. That when we're living in a community of devotees, there are rumors. So many rumors often about so many things. And we shouldn't get carried away by them. We shouldn't get carried away or bewildered. We should see what is our own Krishna consciousness. And finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he leaves Vrindavan. Finally, he leaves Vrindavan. When the crowds became very massive and huge, and they swelled to a tremendous number, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers and the Sonadiya Brahman specifically, they told him, you must leave Vrindavan because it's not safe anymore. The governments and so on. So after expressing gratitude, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu journeyed, and he left Vrindavan through Gokul, as we know, and finally when he was passing through Gokul, as you know, a cowherd boy was playing the flute, and when he heard the flute, he went into ecstasy and he fainted. But at that time, the Mohammedan government, the Pathans who were there, they all came running and they saw the followers of Chaitanya, and Chaitanya was on the floor, and they thought these were robbers and dacoits that had just robbed Chaitanya. So they were about to arrest everyone. But anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he awoke, and that's the famous story where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu establishes the culture of devotion within the Quran, and these devotees became known as the Pathan Vaishnavas. Pathan Vaishnavas. We are coming to an end now, and all of us, we are going to go into the Prasadam Hall for our littlest to Ghosti, and we're going to hear about the Bhaktivedanta players, and also some appreciation, as all of you know, Uddhava Prabhu, who's been with us for nearly 8 years. He's leaving us. He's going back to America to settle there. So we're going to have some words of appreciation about him as well. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.